Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 327, episode 5 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Friday, March 1st,
what?
2024.
It is? It happened?
It's finally happened. I thought February was just going to keep going.
I was fine with February 30th. Wow, March. Wow, it was a lot of. Okay, so let me just take a deep breath because it's National Sunkissed Citrus Day, Self Injury Awareness Day, National Minnesota Day, National Dress in Blue Day, National Speech and Debate Education Day, National Dadgum That's Good Day, National Employee Appreciation Day, Global Day of Unplugging, National Read Across America Day, National Horse Protection Day, National Fruit Compote Day.
Damn.
Wait, there's more. National Pig Day and National Peanut Butter Lovers Day. It is, wow, March 1st is
like they were holding their breath before.
Yeah, a little congested. Yeah, all out at once.
Oh, man.
Oh, I wonder if that's why Schoolboy Q put out his album today, because it's National Dress in Blue Day. That would make sense.
Like, maybe?
Yeah.
I feel like Schoolboy Q is not, like, checking for the national... Secretary's
crip,
Day, fellas.
I don't know, but he's such a crip that I feel like he was like, man, I'm putting blue lips out on National Dress and Blue Day. I don't know. Like,
is
don't
National
know
Dress and Blue Day organized by the Crips, though?
No, I would know.
I
the
would guess
image
not.
Looks like a bunch of people in a retirement community wearing different shades of blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh, it's about raising colon cancer awareness.
Okay.
This now makes
that's very
more
important.
Sense. Yes, yes. And that is an epidemic that is striking the country as younger and younger people are being diagnosed.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, is this a crip thing? Oh, colon cancer. Okay. Yep.
They're often at, working at parallel purposes, though, the crips and the colon cancer,
colon cancer
awareness
community. Sure, we all know.
Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Baby, now we got measles. You know, we used to not have none. So really, fuck Andrew Wakefield, because baby, now we got measles. That is courtesy of Panoramic View on the Discord.
Soltis.
And
blast
reference
from the past.
Yeah, yeah. Reference to the fact that we have measles now. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, anti-vaxxer community. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
What day is it? Is it the 20th? Wait, hold on. But Brother Jack in the back, Sweet Miles in the front, cruising through the week until we hit March 1. Suddenly, red blue lights flash us from behind. Loud voice booming, please step out onto the line. Jack preached words of comfort. Miles just hides his eyes.
policeman taps his shades. Did you forget the 29th? How bizarre.
Wow. We were trying to cope with the leap year. We didn't know what day it was. And shout out Zach Van Ness, who said, we can't wait 4 years to use this again. So you know what? I will shoehorn it in on March 1st to recognize the leap year, the leap
day. Oh, man. Yeah. What a day. My kids were on my ass immediately when I woke up, just being like, it's leap day. What are we doing?
Oof.
Man. I don't know. You didn't tell me I needed something to be doing. Anyways, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third and fourth seats.
Yes, yes.
By the hosts of the wonderful podcast On Theme, where you can hear them discuss everything from the weaponization of rap lyrics by the legal system to fictional characters they want to reach through the screen and slap. It's Jeff Code and Katie Mitchell!
He's a great day!
Hello!
Welcome. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for stopping in. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, how is it? How is it? How's it over there in Atlanta?
In Atlanta. Yeah. It's always something going on in Atlanta. Some scam here or there.
Hey. Is there a scam going on right now?
Scam or be scammed, I always say.
Other than Cop City? What other scams are they running over there?
The parking here is a scam.
Yeah.
They sold it to a private company for 100 years for the low. And they are taxing out here.
Definitely.
Wow. Yeah, we know about that in LA too. The parking, that's a racket.
And the parking lots at the mall, they have security.
What?
Yes, I learned that.
What
do
you
weekend.
Mean the parking lots at the mall got security?
At Lenox, there's a parking lot at Lenox where you have to go through security just to get in the parking lot.
To
stop stealing.
Yeah. Because Atlanta thinks everything's a club. That's another scam.
Yeah. Everything's so exclusive.
Yeah.
You got to wait in line to get into the parking lot and to leave the parking lot. I was like, this is dangerous, I feel.
Yeah. They're checking, hold on, the ratios aren't good, man. I can't let you in, man. You need some more ladies with you. Yeah. Otherwise, you can't get your car. Wow. Okay. So everything is like a, or is it more militarized security?
Not really.
Yeah, it's just more like somebody there to just kind of be like, yeah, right.
Somebody who isn't really qualified to be
right.
watching anything.
Naturally. Yeah. Parking lot gimmicks we know them well in LA, don't we, Jack? In our own studio parking lot.
Our studio had for a while somebody who was like, you know, he had something going. We weren't quite sure, but he would always try and hit us up like 5 days early for payment and then like forget that we had paid him at various points. And he just, he had a lot of plates spinning.
It was
interesting. And he was mean to people.
Yeah.
You got to be nice if you scam in.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, bedside manner.
Yeah. Make it bedside scammer.
Bedside scammer.
I just want to say for the record, though, that I do love Atlanta, and I'm actually not one of those folks who says, nobody come here, we're full. I actually think we're not full.
Right,
and
right.
And more people can come, but just want
playing
to correct
right into the
record.
The private equity parking company's hands with that one. But.
I guess that's true.
All right. Well, we are going to get to know you both a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. The Supreme Court will rule on Trump's immunity. They will just do it very, very slowly, almost like they're running interference so that
this court, this Supreme Court,
have to go to trial before he has a chance to be elected president.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. We will, of course, continue to check in with the developing situation. The shitty Willy Wonka experience that was put on in Glasgow. How'd I do?
Glasgow. You got to fight how you want to phonetically say it when you see G-O-W.
Glasgow. Yeah, there's just more details coming out. We have scripts.
Which, AI generated.
I don't know. Are they AI generated? Are they generated by a genius?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to tell. There is a new villain that probably is going to get their own horror movie who is lurking, a chocolatier who lives in the walls.
Not great world building.
Yeah. And we'll talk about VR improving the lives of senior citizens, virtual reality, possibly. You know, if private equity doesn't manage to fuck that up, you know, it's a way that technology could actually make people's lives a little bit better.
Mm.
All of that, plenty more. But first, Eves,
Katie, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history? Or we're also opening it up to what's the most recent thing that you've screen capped? Either or.
Yeah. What's more revealing? Go on those screenshots. Oh. What do we got?
Let's see. Let me look in the screenshot because my search history has been whack.
Okay. Okay.
Real whack.
My screen caps are boring.
Okay. Did you have one for search history? I'm going to look through my photos.
I recently looked up if Mike Epps has been to jail. I saw him on a commercial and I was like, I wonder if he's been in jail. Because he was talking about like, oh, when you in jail, you do this. I was like, I bet he ain't even really like that. But right. He had been to jail several times. He's done a lot of illegal things.
Really?
He has sold drugs. At one point, he didn't even go to jail for this next one. He brought a loaded gun to an airport in Indianapolis, but he didn't go to jail.
Was he famous at the time?
Yeah, he was famous. It was just a couple years ago. So I think he got some leniency for that.
Yeah, they're like, that's day-day. Jail,
so
yeah.
Props to him for telling the truth on his upcoming special.
Okay. Do they take people to jail for bringing guns? Don't they just take them? Because like Atlanta's like the biggest airport.
They took T.I.'s daughter to jail.
They did.
They really frown on it. I remember there was a Cowboys. They really, like, that's one. I had that same thought. I'm like, well, you just take it away, right, from them. But I remember there was like a football coach in the 90s who kept, like, multiple times just like kept forgetting not to bring a gun to the airport, which is such a funny crime. But I'm pretty sure he got arrested. So,
well, I mean, if you keep doing it at a certain point,
it's going to start to look suspicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that guy, Madison Cawthorn, the former Congress member, I remember he brought a gun too. And I think, well, maybe his complexion did some work for him there, but he was just had to be like, now I have to go to court for bringing a gun in my carry on luggage. But
the guy I was talking about, Barry Switzer, Cowboys coach, arrested after pistol found in bag at Dallas Fort Worth Airport. So, okay. I mean, the coach of the Cowboys, like, at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, and they still arrested him. I mean, maybe they had a bad season that year, and that's...
Oh, right. Who could have more power in the state, is what
right.
you're saying.
But that's, you might as well be the governor.
Wait, in Mike Epps' special, was he talking in a way that had you sort of rubbing your chin, like, let me...
Well, to me, so I know Mike Epps, he might have crossed over to being beyond Black famous at this point. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you've been famous for a long time. Like, why are you in jail like that? Like, I don't trust it. Because you've been famous to me since the 90s.
Right,
you know
right.
what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't expect you to just be, like, in the streets, like, where you would be getting locked up like that.
Right.
But I was wrong. He proved me wrong. So shout out to him.
Yeah.
shout out to him for being in jail. Yeah.
Congratulations, sir. Eves, what is something from your search history or from your screen caps?
So my screen caps are also boring. But I'll just say something from my search history. It's been a lot of historical figures and things about history lately. But we do have an episode today. I was going back and looking at some of the articles we did that were related to the episode we had come out today, which is about funerary portraiture. And one of those articles was about extreme embalming, which is a thing that was like, it blew up for just like a really hot second. This was several years ago, where people would pose people's bodies in elaborate fashions with like these serious set designs for them to be like put up for their memorial service. And so that's one thing that was from my search history that I was like going back into because of the episode we have coming out today.
Yeah.
It's like posed upright, right? Like
some of them. Yeah.
No, some of them, not like the lady with the wine glass and the alcohol.
That's the one we were
talking
about.
She's stuck in people's heads.
She is. Everybody knows her.
She ate that.
She ate it, right?
She's iconic.
She ate that from 6 feet under.
That was her legacy that happened when she died.
Because Issa was telling me about it. She's like, have you heard da 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 da? I was like, I've never heard about that in my life. But then she mentioned that lady with the wine glass. I was like, yep.
But my favorite was the guy that came up who, he was posed playing video games, like on his Xbox. He had an Xbox controller in his hand, and he had like a Sprite and some hot Cheetos or something like that. They were like, this is this man's legacy.
Right, right.
This is what the people need to know about him.
I remember, I was actually listening to that episode and it was really dope because I knew initially like James Van Der Zee, like from like the Harlem Renaissance photography that he did, but I didn't really know about all of the sort of like funeral images that he took too. So I was Googling, that's in my search history because I was like, I need to see these pictures that y'all were talking about in this episode. But that kind of like, sort of end of like funeral setup. It's interesting culturally how different countries do things like that. Cause I also see like in South America too, they also do a lot of celebratory things. Like I saw a thing where a younger guy had passed away from like an illness and he was like really into soccer. So his friends like had him score one last goal. And it was kind of wild because it like kind of kicked a ball off of him into
like
a
Weekend
goal.
At Bernie's?
Yeah.
Like they were carrying his ass?
Yeah.
Like how soon after?
I mean, you know, however much time passed, but he was such an avid soccer player, his like team like got all together for like this sort of, you know, symbolic final goal he could score. And that was a little more animated than I was expecting. But again, it's all about, you know, like let's remember them how they lived.
He was loved by his team members because I don't think I would be doing that, but that's a testament to how he lived.
Sure. Right.
I think a lot of people would find that pretty irreverent.
Right. How would you, but what would you do for your extreme embalming? How would you want to be remembered? What are we doing?
My extreme embalming?
That's a good question. Yeah. Like, what do I? Probably in a yoga pose.
Oh, that'd be cute.
Oh, okay.
Because I practice and I teach yoga.
Okay, but which pose? Even more important.
Honestly, which pose? So
not,
the body's
going to be stiff.
Not corpse
pose, obviously. Yeah,
you gotta do a headstand. You gotta do some fly shit,
or like a scorpion handstand, something like that. Which I can't even do in real life. So put me in something I can't do in real life.
Why not?
Just jam your body into that position.
It would be the hardest thing. But honestly, if you love me, come on.
Yeah,
I should write that in my will now.
Right.
If you love me,
if you love me, put me in that scorpion pose.
What's something, Miles? By the way, it sounds like you have an answer to that. What are you posing as?
I don't know. Maybe DJing or like playing an instrument. Fine. Yeah. That yeah. Cause I think one. Like that's like the one thing that makes me feel like in the infinite, you know, listening to music or playing music. So I feel like that would be a fitting physical pose end for me is to be jamming or something like that.
That makes sense. I'd be dunking. I would have my
You'd be dunking.
I'd have my hands connected to the rim with wire. There would be some added like kind of tension because you don't know if like my arms might rip off or not, you know? And
right.
Ooh. Again, I'm stealing from Eve's idea that like you're doing something you couldn't actually do in life, but you're kind of being immortalized that way.
Yeah. You probably have to have that posing stick that they put on statues in museums when the statue is like freestanding and it can't hold itself. They have the stick they put up the backside of the statue.
Yeah.
It's probably what they have to do.
That would be advisable, but I want there to be the tension that there might be a coffin flop style mishap where my body just like falls and it's dramatic and everybody's
contingency
kind of,
plans.
Yeah.
I think I would go with like more on Miles's side, doing something that you actually do. I think I would like to be cooking at my own repast.
Oh.
You know the repast.
Wow.
I used to not like those because I was like, why is everybody so happy right now? Mm-hmm. But if I'm like, you know, serving a little collard green situation, and everybody, I want to be there. Wow. I want to enjoy it.
Yeah, I like that. What would you make? What food would be on the menu?
Something real, real soulful. Got to put some cornbread, collard greens. You know, I don't eat meat, but I'm going to let y'all eat it. So some turkey legs or something.
Look, if it was my family, they're going to be mad if ain't no meat at the repast.
I know, mine too. So, I'm going to let y'all do y'all big one with the pork and all of that.
What's something that you think is underrated?
I think being a hater is underrated. Mm. And we talked about this in one of our episodes. Haters really are the impetus to so much. Like, if you had somebody hating on you, you just feel like you have to prove them wrong. You have to go so hard. And a lot of things that we have in society, you wouldn't be there without haters. But they get a really bad rap. And I was like, y'all need to, like, genuinely thank your haters. And not like, I'd like to thank my haters, but, like, for real, thank your haters.
Right. Your outside opinion of me sort of spurred me on to do something different, something great, for sure.
Yeah, if you were just being nice to me, I would have just been sitting around doing nothing.
I just like in my search history is somebody. So Sony had this like outspoken critic who just hated all things Sony and like criticized everything they did. And he made so many good points when he was criticizing them that they hired him and he became the president of Sony eventually.
Whoa.
That's not how okay. I thought that was going to end.
I know, me yeah. neither. I was like, what? So, I mean, truly, hater if you can find story. A well-informed hater, like where all their criticism is like, actually, like the reason I'm so mad is because they make some really good points, then maybe listen to them. Maybe keep them close for reasons other than, you know, that you're just watching them.
Make them yeah. your boss.
Yeah.
I feel like the United boss. States should do that for me.
For what
right.
do you mean?
Right?
I'm the biggest hater of the United States. Like, so make me president.
President?
Yeah.
But you don't want to be president, though.
I would do some stuff that we would not come back from.
same.
But
same.
I was thinking it could be, this could be, everybody could just be a hater. Like, in the aftermath of the quote-unquote great resignation, you
right.
know,
right.
like, everybody could just focus on hating. And that,
yeah.
that'll be our pathway to employment.
Yeah.
Hey. I'll
we heard it here
it.
First. We heard it here first.
Plus, it's such a thin line. Like, whenever somebody gets caught doing something really bad, their first response is always like, I'm not listening to the haters on right. this. So it's a real thin line between hater and like person who is just calling out, you know, horrible behavior. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially yes. if like you see your fave getting hated on.
Mm-hmm.
You sometimes you're like, yeah, they're just hating, but if someone you don't like, they're like, it's a very principled critique that person made.
Yeah, right, right. Like,
the $10 words start coming out.
Yeah. It's a principled critique, and I will stand by as it's made. Eves, how about you? What's something you think is underrated?
So I think rekindling old friendships is underrated. And this is
like, underrated. Okay.
Underrated.
Okay.
Yes. Wow, see, yeah. and she's thinking
Katie
I'm saying
like
overrated.
Rolling. Yeah,
I'm
coming yeah. for you.
Yeah.
Because that would have been how I kind of felt in the past. I was like, you know, it's a new day. It's a new dawn. And mm-hmm. I don't need to go back to these old friendships. But, you know, I'm rethinking it now after having communications with, you know, somebody who I used to know's mother today. And she was like, oh, y'all should talk. And I'm like, I'll think about it. You right. know, I'll consider it. Because before I'm like, you know, if they're not in my life anymore, then it's for a reason. You know how all right. the kids say, they're in your life for a reason or a season or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
So I don't know if I subscribe to that anymore. So that's what my underrated is going to be.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And I actually needed to hear that. There's somebody that I've just been like toying with the idea of like, man, I should really get back in touch with them. I haven't talked to them in years.
Yeah.
And yeah, that needed to hear that. Thank you very much. What's something you think is overrated?
I think biopics are overrated. Ooh. And this is coming from someone who is, I love biography in written form. I love it in podcast form. I love it in those forms. But for some reason, I have something against biopics. Like my husband coerced me to go to the Bob Marley biopic
ask about that.
The
okay.
other day.
This is what
and
we're calling,
yeah. I'm just, for some reason, it's just something about seeing somebody who looks nothing like the person. And oof. Sounds nothing like the person. And it's really hard to get somebody's accent down. Like, that's not an easy thing to do for the best of
right.
actors. There's something that misses the translation. And I think also it's like very hard to cover a person's story in an hour and 45 minutes in a way
right.
that feels really meaningful. Not that I think it can't be done in that, like, it's just to me, they always come off as mediocre or.
Right. Or like or someone just, who could do no wrong or something like that. Like, and he was actually the hero of everything.
Right, yeah. Because
yeah.
they have to
I know
follow
Bob Marley,
the structure.
There's some complexities there with his life, for sure. And also, sure. we were hating on the wig, first of all.
Thank you.
The first oh thing I said God. Are like, no, 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 no.
Nobody
come
gets
on.
Black wigs right.
Nobody.
Nobody does.
That's what I'm like. You couldn't find nobody a Jamaican right. a Jamaican actor? Who already had dreads or something like that, you had to go find this. Isn't he from the UK?
I
like
am
the
so
dude
glad.
That they Yeah. I just
I'm
remember
so
being like, this is trash, man. Like I can't look at this because the wig was so bad.
The wig was wiggy. Okay. It's
yeah.
always the scalp. With locks, it's the scalp that yeah. they get wrong. It's really hard
right.
to do. And
it's always like a helmet with like it feels like a helmet with
Tyler
some tentacles
Perry?
Popping off.
Yes. It was giving Tyler Perry wigs. Was Michonne from Walking Dead?
Yeah, yeah.
It's that's exactly what it was. Mm. And they try it too. Like shout
right.
out to the wig makers. I know it's a hard job. I'm not saying that they aren't
right.
fully talented and skilled and have been working on their crafts. They like tried to they lengthened the wig throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And all of that. And I'm like, okay.
All right.
Wow. You did the church. Oh, okay. Uh-huh. All right. Well,
take your time. Like
yeah. Okay. Well, bless your heart. At least you try. Is there a thing too, like with, because we were talking about this, I think maybe off mic, Jack, but like some people are just kind of so cool. Like don't even bother trying to get somebody else to capture that cool on screen. Like there was like a Miles Davis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Biopic. I'm like, you can't. This dude is also all over the place. You can't just be like, yeah, now you're Miles Davis, you're Bob Marley or whatever.
And they're so iconic that you either have to like cast the person who looks the most like them, like they did with that Tupac one, but then he may not be able to act.
Right.
So it's a real, like you are trying to thread the thinnest needle. And also, a Tupac biography in 100 years, maybe, you know,
when nobody remembers
and they're just like, they've seen the pictures, but like right now, Bob Marley, Tupac, like way too soon.
It needs some distance. And it didn't make it any better that at the end of the Bob Marley film, I don't know if I'm going too hard on this right now.
No,
I'm really not hating that much. But at the end of the Bob Marley film, they show like actual footage of Bob Marley. And comparing his energy on stage to the energy that the actor was giving was just miles away. It was like, it was so spirited. And you could really see that coming out in the clips. And having just seen the actor do it in the film, I was like, something was missing. That je ne sais quoi wasn't there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
You know who could have did a good job?
Who?
Chadwick. If Chadwick was alive... Yeah. I feel like he could play anybody.
You need an all-time like great actor. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you need. Like, sometimes it works because you have just, like, an incredible
Thurgood actor. Marshall?
I don't remember.
He played someone super, super light-skinned. I was like, you better quit it.
In that, I think he did. He did play Thurgood Marshall, I believe.
But I wasn't mad at it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kingsley Ben-Adir. That's the name of the actor who played him. But yeah, like, I'm sure when you see that juxtaposition of actual Bob Marley footage, it really feels like your parent being like, yeah, we got Bob Marley at home. Don't worry. it's this. And you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Katie, what's something that you think is overrated?
I think Chick-fil-A is overrated.
Mm.
And I think once we all band together and stop eating Chick-fil-A, that's when the revolution will happen.
Wow.
Because they don't like the gays.
Right.
They don't like the blacks for real, because the blacks and the Latinos be in the back. And not in the front interacting with customers.
Wow.
The chicken, I haven't had chicken in maybe 10 years. It was good. I ain't gonna hold you. But other people make good chicken. They're not the only ones. And people be acting like they're the only ones just because they say please and thank you and my pleasure.
Right.
We gotta have higher standards for ourselves.
The hard thing about this is that they're expanding.
They're expanding like crazy, especially in Georgia.
Oh, really?
Across the country, yeah.
There's like four of them on my exit.
Yeah, they're a franchise model, and it's like super hard to get into like their franchise because they have a specific way of doing it. And they're never going to IPO. They're never going to go public.
Right.
I don't know how. But I believe it. If you believe it, I believe it.
Yeah.
The revolution going to start right when we give up Chick-fil-A.
When people can like, the first principled consumer decision like the entire country can collectively make, they'd be like, aside from the morality, the chicken also... Like, Popeyes is better. Man, when I was in the Atlanta studio, that spot, Delilah's, I had a chicken sandwich from there that blew my socks right off my feet. Like, I thought I was like a Willy Wonka exhibit. But yeah, that was definitely like, I think it's just one of those things. And I said this before when I think, was it Dulce Sloan who maybe, or somebody was talking about it, or maybe it was Dr. John. Anyway, somebody was also saying, was coming with that overrated. And
it's probably one of our most common overrateds. And I think it's time. I think it's
like
time,
one of those
America.
Things. It's like one of those things, too, because in the West Coast, we never had it. Like, so when it came on the West Coast, it was like what In-N-Out is to other places. Like, Chick-fil-A's here. The thing I heard about from my relatives that live in the South or the East Coast or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think once that subsides, maybe people can, you know, we can all band together and can break and just
the novelty needs to wear off a little bit.
Yeah. And I think if anybody, Katie and I are actually from the land of Truett Cathy. Spent a lot of time growing up there where he lived. And I think if anybody can do it, we can do it. Because we can we have original claim to the land of the Chick-fil-A. And if we can do it, anybody in this country can do it.
You know, I went on a field trip to Chick-fil-A Ranch in elementary school.
What's Chick-fil-A Ranch?
I don't know if it still exists. It was so fun. They had, I'm just bigging them up now.
They got you with the propaganda. Yeah. They're like, we actually, you know, second thought. I love S. Truett, Kathy.
It was so fun. It was like, they had, I guess it was like a cow sanctuary or something, because, you know, they don't serve
beef. Oh, right, right. Yeah.
And they had like those, like, what do they call it? Conestoga wagons?
Conestoga?
The yeah, like, cover like wagon that. Thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Conestoga wagon.
The people going west was that were in. So we slept in those. It was an overnight trip, mind you.
Wow.
Like, we did s'mores. We like cooked on the fire. It was real fun.
That does sound fun. Yeah. I'll do that today.
We should look at
and
it
you
up.
Know what? Yeah, actually, so let me change my overrated really quick.
Actually, they're underrated.
Chick-fil-A Ranch is underrated.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A the restaurant. Yeah. I think I've talked about this before, but I got, as an award in middle school, I got to go on this field trip, and it was just to the Long John Silver's headquarters, like corporate headquarters.
So it was like, that in Kentucky?
The worst version of your field trip.
Right.
Not even, like, they didn't have any fun themed thing. You just like sat and watched a fucking them go through some spreadsheets and then got to eat Long John Silver's.
Yeah. Yeah. They need to work on their propaganda game. You know?
Yeah. I think it would be pretty cool if they would have showed you all the different kinds of fish that go into the amalgamation.
What actually? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We actually shop at a pet store to get this stuff put together. Yeah.
That would be wild if they admitted that.
Yeah. It's just core memory like, for sure.
Goldfish mash is what you're actually getting.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that's disgusting. Sorry to leave it on that note. But we are going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk some news. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it pop biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Sorry we're back. for the long delay. The crows are back, but thanks everybody for the advice on basically bribing them with nuts. I've put a bowl of almonds in my backyard. So far it seems to be kind of working, but
they are gathering.
They are gathered and I think they're more updates in the future.
An evolving story.
Yeah. Like I said, we're going to get to some important news, and that was it.
My crows are back
in the backyard. No, the Supreme Court has announced they're going to rule on Trump's immunity. They're going to do it very, very slowly. This is essentially playing along with his plan for, you know, to delay everything until he's president.
and then he can start punishing his enemies and throwing all this shit out of court, essentially.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I think the whole time we were wondering, we're like, well, every other lower court was out of hand rejecting the argument that there is such thing as God mode when you're president. And they're like, you can actually be convicted of a crime. What are we talking about here? But yeah, as it stands, the Supreme Court is basically saying they will hear, I think April 22nd is when they will begin the proceedings to hear the fucking case. I think any normal court would have just affirmed the lower court's decision and be like, what'd they say? Why am I wasting my time? But yeah, we were always wondering, how will the Supreme Court show itself to be completely biased and illegitimate and a laughingstock? And yeah, we're starting to see it by like slow rolling this thing, because this will drag everything on to the point that the Jack Smith trial probably wouldn't happen in time at all.
I mean, he had already asked the Supreme Court to weigh in on this issue back in December because he knew that this was a possibility, and Trump's lawyers objected. It's, I don't know. I'm no legal expert. This all just seems very fucking dumb. So,
it's very dark.
That's too, my legal read on the situation.
Yeah. Thanks for that. all very fucking VFD. We already know. That's the conclusion we've come to. But yeah, I mean, like, this is the thing also, because even if they do, you know, come to a decision and they say, you know what, actually, no, you do not have immunity. We all know about how the DOJ, if we remember in 2016, they'll be like, we don't like to do anything that could be seen as political 60 days out from election. But Hillary Clinton, we can make a special case for, like they did with that FBI thing that happened within 60 days of the election. So it's really, I guess the only terrible silver lining here is that if the Supreme Court were to affirm like what Trump's argument is, that there is such thing as the star from Super Mario Brothers that makes you immune from criminal prosecution, then I guess Joe Biden is free to do literally whatever the fuck he wants to also hold on to power. But this is just like the most grim timeline, either way you look at it.
Yeah.
Hold on to power for 2 more months of his life.
Yeah.
Right. For however long. Hold on to it. Hold on to it.
Maybe it's like an immortality thing. Maybe it's like a one-up thing in addition to the
stuff. Oh, yeah. The mushroom makes him younger, maybe.
I don't feel like this is they're going to rule for Trump on this, right?
No.
Like all of the lower courts that have looked at this have said that, no, this is like open and shut. Why are we even looking at this? Of course, president doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. But I think from the way the Supreme Court seems to like to do things, where they're like, we do a horrifying thing, and then, but hey, we're still over here. Feels like this will give them a chance to at least have the appearance that they're ruling against Trump on something, while also essentially running interference for him to let him buy time until he has a chance to be president.
Right. In which case, he'll just tell the DOJ to drop all the charges.
Right.
Yeah. And so it has everybody loses, I guess, in this instance.
Right.
So,
yeah. It feels like that.
Like I said, November, take your time. Take your time.
Right.
Take your time, please. Take your time.
All right. Did you guys catch the Willy Wonka experience in Glasgow? Eves,
I
and,
did see it.
Katie. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're terminally unhealthily online.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
I only saw a smidge, not too much.
Yeah, but you're familiar with the terrible bait and switch that they pulled on people, being like,
I would have gotten tricked too.
Really? Yeah. Off from the AI pictures, you think?
Yeah, I would think like, you cannot lie this much.
Right.
I can see you could lie a little bit. You could put a little extra on it, but you can't lie this much.
right. The way they did that it was a 90-second total time, or not time limit, but that's how long it took for people to get through the whole thing, was about 90 seconds. And then they were handing out one jelly bean per kid towards the end because they ran out of kids. Yeah, it got grim.
But they're magical jelly beans, right, Miles?
Like, yeah. Because I call them that. They're magical. Then just trust me on this. Now, give me my $45. But yeah, the one thing that's clear after like looking at the whole Willy Wonka thing here is like, the AI this AI, like the, based on the images and everything, it's enabling the worst thoughts of morally unscrupulous people. Like the use of AI to make marketing materials was clearly like a huge help in getting people into the door. Mm-hmm. But now we're hearing that the actors that were hired to be part of this quote unquote experience were also given scripts that were also AI generated nonsense, allegedly. No one has confirmed or denied that AI was used. ChatGPT, apparently they said they took a look at it. Like, it's hard for us to know because it's so poorly written that, yeah, it could be AI.
Right.
Or it could just be so poorly written. There's just a lot of new things we're learning about. There was some villain character that made kids cry during this thing called The Unknown. And it was just a person in like a silver spray painted mask.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It is terrifying.
It's grim.
Like soul chilling.
And yeah.
Do you have the clip in here where like somebody's like, what is this now? And then this fucker comes out from behind a mirror and the kids immediately go, no.
Like, yeah. It's the sound of like
trauma setting in.
Yeah. The sound of upset kids that definitely makes it a little bit hard to like be like, oh, no. And like the parents, it's also in those videos, you see the parents trying to be like, this is OK. Yeah. But on the inside, they're like, I'm going to fuck somebody up for charging me this amount of money.
I heard they called the police, some of them.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
What is the police supposed to do?
Some of the parents called the police while they were there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. What were they going to do?
I mean, I think just be like, yeah, I don't know what you want us to do. Like, it's a scam. I mean, I guess we can tell you that. But as it stands, the company that put it on says they are giving people refunds. We still don't know the state of that. We do know that the actors have not been paid.
Yeah.
So that may be a bit of foreshadowing. Mm.
The quote from the actor on The Unknown is, the bit that got me was where I had to say, there is a man, we don't know his name. We know him as The Unknown. This unknown is an evil chocolate maker who lives in the walls.
Yeah.
Who lives in the walls is like so specific and creepy and a thing that like your child imagination like makes up already. And so, you know, like, oh yeah, there's somebody who lives in your walls.
Oh, here.
Every time you hear your house settle a little bit or something, you're like, oh no.
This is the clip of the just poor guy pretending to be, I think, Willie McNichol or something, obviously, because for trademark reasons, they could not say Wonka.
Yeah.
And he is out here telling, this is the part where he tells kids about the unknown. As the soup flavor, full of
scary. Look at this dude. Scare the great unknown.
Also, was that like a Diana Ross wig?
The guy. It was giving racist.
Yeah.
or maybe the same thing. Like, yeah. I mean, that's where my mind goes all the time. I assume there are racist underpinnings to things.
Hopefully,
it's giving
that was
like people under the stairs too. You know, like in the walls.
Mm. Yeah. And just coming out from a Target mirror, like a door mirror, be like, ah.
Yeah.
You know, this might be someone who is actually against AI. Trying to show everybody
to ring the alarm.
Evils of AI. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
They're flipping it a little bit.
Right. I'm sure you saw the picture of the woman playing the Oompa Loompa, because I think that sort of kind of encapsulated the entire experience. This poor lady, she said when she got there, nothing resembled a legitimate production of any kind. The costumes she thinks were used. Other people were like, they were like cheap, sexy Oompa Loompa costumes. And they were like, I'm glad I brought tights and a t-shirt. Otherwise, like my business would have been hanging all the way out while I'm trying to do like a children's performance. And again, when she got the script too, she was like, some of this stuff doesn't make sense. The organizer just said, hey, just improvise. And that's the part that makes me feel partially that this was definitely AI generated. Like, otherwise, wouldn't you want the actors you were, I guess, allegedly going to pay to sort of like execute your creative vision? You know what I mean? Rather than just being like, fuck it, just say whatever the fuck you want. I don't know.
They had a captive audience.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We do have a few excerpts from I actually downloaded the whole script. Someone uploaded it to the internet that all the actors got. And I'm also like, so I'm looking at this. There's a lot of interesting stuff. Well, there's one thing is clear when you look at it. For me, it feels very computer generated, and those details will be kind of self-apparent when we read it. But also, this production would have won a fucking Tony Award for how out, like how out there some of these special effects were supposed to be as sort of described in the script. This is from a part, it says, this is from a scene where they go into this enchanted forest. It says, parenthetical, Jack, do you want to read Wonky Doodle and I'll be Willie McDuff, a.k.a.
Yeah, there he is, Willie McDuff.
So this is a parenthetical. Audience members engage with the interactive flowers, offering compliments to which the flowers respond with pre-recorded whimsical thank yous.
Oh. So there are flowers that speak in this production, like just keeping in mind that when you got there, it looked like just the grimmest room where like multiple crimes have taken place. Like in this person's vision, it is a place where there are flowers that are kind of challenging the technology, like the bounds of technology.
Right.
And then we cut to me, Wonky Doodle One, saying to a guest, oh, and if you see a butterfly, whisper your sweetest dream to it. They're our official secret keepers and dream carriers of the garden.
And then Willie McDuff says, in parenthetical, gathering everyone's attention. Now, I must ask, has anyone seen the elusive bubble bloom? It's a rare flower that blooms just once every blue moon and fills the air with shimmering bubbles. The stage crew discreetly activates bubble machines, filling the area with bubbles, causing excitement and wonder among the audience. That's why I think it's AI. When you start saying how people are going to react to it, that is that's not direction.
I think this is just somebody who is...
on cocaine?
Yeah, and has, you know, they're just, they expect this to go exactly how they have it in their little, that they are overdosed on whimsy and just believe that they can create magic just by hoping that it happens. Sorry, Wonky Doodle 2, not to be confused with my previous character,
or
Wonky
Doodle 1. Or Oompa Loompa.
Pretending to catch bubbles. Quick, each bubble holds a whisper of enchantment. Catch one and make a wish.
Willie McDuff, as the bubble-catching frenzy continues, this remember, in the Garden of Enchantment, every moment is a chance of magic. Every corner hides a story, and every bubble catches a bubble, holds a dream. Parenthetical, he opens his hand and the bubble gently pops, releasing a small twinkling light that ascends into the rafters, leaving the audience in awe. There's no way you could do this shit at all. Not
you
even
can't
with like
do that on Pandora at Disney World. Like that's how the fuck did you think that was going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who and among then, us like, has never oversold their abilities?
I know. That's I
mean, yeah, fake it till you make it.
This feels like pretty identifiable, but like the wishful thinking in the script is just really like it just gives you a head like the difference between what they had in mind and the grim vibe of the actual room like gives me a head rush. It's like so just unbelievably different.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the other thing, it's like it, this to your point, Katie, I think in a way it really makes clear what, like how people are going to use AI, like especially for people in decision-making positions, because I feel like they were probably, the people who put this on were probably so wowed and razzled that like, yo, I just said this thing and it came up with all these wild ideas, like a light will go to the rafters out the bubble. Like we don't need people no more. Like I can see how someone in a C-suite who has no experience writing or doing anything creative would see that and be like, yo, this is it. This is it. Like, you know, it's a wrap on paying people to have actual ideas. So again, like our guests on Tuesday's episode said, resist the urge to be impressed by AI, folks.
Right.
But yeah, to your point, Jack, I think Katie, you were also saying like, you know, we will oversell ourselves, you know, yeah. We'll fake it till we make it. But it also feels like that is kind of like the refrain that you hear from scammers when they get caught. They'll do some version of like, it's just so, I'm just so disappointed in what came out. You know, I really wanted it to be something special for the kids. And instead, they got a big old con job. And I feel bad about that. Because this guy who put it on, he also apparently got in trouble in 2021 for having a Santa's Grotto event. I don't know why Santa needs a grotto. Like,
oh my gosh, he's a serial scammer. Oh,
right, yeah. A grotto. Isn't that more associated with like a Krampus or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. Like, isn't it like a cave enclosure type thing? I just think of like the sordid grotto from the Playboy Mansion, which is like a hidden pool. But like, apparently, he canceled this event once people donated gifts and stuff and money.
Oh, wow.
Like, just canceled it.
So he has
the Santa one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Santa guy from House of Illuminati Productions is the name of his company.
There was no way to tell that this was in any way off.
Is House spelled H-A-U-S?
No, no.
Howls?
No, no, not going full scammer with that one.
No, but with scamming, you have to have a code of ethics. Like, you can't be out here scamming little kids like this. If you're going to scam, you need to scam the United States government. You need to scam Walmart. Scam multinational corporations. Why are you scamming families that use their hard-earned money to give their kids a little experience?
Because money is money. These people are not thinking with logic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's why they'll always get caught up.
Yeah.
You need to get a PPP loan. I know this wasn't in the United States, but
exactly.
You can scam a PPP loan.
You know what this sounds like to me, right? I mean, courses are really hot right now. You could sell an online course about scamming.
Me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. You're like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to set up a defense contractor company to work with the Pentagon. And trust me, they will just turn the money hose on for anybody.
Exactly.
I mean, this sort of like Firefest-esque pop culture fandom-based scam definitely predates AI. I'm not sure that definitely the artwork that they sent out had something to do with AI.
No, I'm saying more people are going to try it because of
definitely.
It. I'm not saying
that it's easy for them to like just shoot copy out. But like back in 2019, people paid $50 for a Harry Potter themed event. And the wand making station was a table with scattered chopsticks and glitter. Mm. And the magical cocktail was gin and tonics and rum and cokes. The wand making station has a sign that is just a whiteboard with wand making station written on it.
Like
Sharpie.
The addition of the stars.
Yeah, they put some razzle dazzle on it.
One, two, but three.
You know how quickly those stars were drawn? You can tell by the shape of the stars. Someone just went, fuck it. Let me just zhuzh this up. And they really have like Chinese restaurant, like to go chopsticks.
Like still in the wrapper.
Saying wand making station. This one
with votive candles, like the little tiny candles.
To be fair, true to material though, it is wood. So
that's appropriate if your mom is doing it for your friends, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have a little Harry Potter moment. And your mom does that. It's like, okay, your mom, she really care about y'all. But paying for that.
$50? No, no. No,
but same deal as this one. That one just came back to one person who claimed, I'm not a scammer. I just didn't nail all the details, which implies like I nailed some of the details. But
come on, give me some credit here.
Did you see the stars on the whiteboard? I mean, can we go back there?
Did you not hear my lawyer? Did you not hear my lawyer? The chopsticks are made of wood, much like the Elder Wand from Harry Potter. So rest my case, Your Honor.
No further questions, Your Honor. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about a good side of technology. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back.
We are back.
And we are, of course, inundated with stories about people wearing Vision Pro while driving a car or operating a forklift loaded with nitroglycerin. But it's worth noting that virtual reality can be a less stupid thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a recent Stanford study that showed that VR had a big impact in nursing homes, where seniors chose from virtual experiences ranging from riding in a tank to, which, you know, my 5-year-old would absolutely choose.
What does that mean? Like, recapture glory days from, like woo, the woo. War?
Yeah.
Like, riding in a tank? And then doing what?
Yeah. But
just riding.
I don't want to know.
Yeah,
playing with puppies and kittens, to visiting countries like Paris or Egypt.
Countries like Paris.
That might Egypt. Be our bad. That might be a mistake in the copy.
Yeah.
But the study found that 60% of the seniors felt less isolated socially thanks to VR. 75% of caregivers said residents' moods improved after using the VR. And
I see that.
Yeah, I mean, like, in talking about AI and a lot of the technology that's emerging right now, we've kind of hit on this general theme that when it's something that you're playing with, it can be fun. And, like, right. if that's all you're looking for is, like, a fun thing to play with, and, like, that seems to be where the technology has promise. Right. When it's being used to, like, systemically, like, take people's jobs or like replace human beings, it doesn't work very well.
Or make medical decisions on your behalf.
Or make medical decisions.
Yeah. Because it does remind me of, like, I remember there were always these videos that would go viral like 10 years ago of like a person in like a nursing home, and like they would hear the music from their childhood, and like you would just see their eyes light up, and suddenly like they were talking, and like they had a lot to do. And it's called reminiscence therapy.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see something like that get kind of taken to the next level, where it's like, no, put these goggles on and like, guess where we are? We're back in that tank, baby.
Back in that tank where now you first fell in love.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it is one of those things where it's like a bit of a, you know, it's like when you start talking about nursing homes, like you also... There's also like huge issues with nursing homes, even as we've talked about on this show, like with private equity coming in and completely like diluting the care that is available to people, and how it's like subpar and like leaves people in terrible situations.
Yeah.
So it's like, can we get the people paid more too? Like, because I feel like the lazy thing, like, man, you know how we're going to get things better? Just give these people VR goggles. They don't need real life.
It's giving like Black Mirror. It feels like an easier way to neglect. It's like a direct path to more neglect and not actual like
human
interaction.
Right. Yeah. I also saw one lady saying like she wanted to go back to the 1960s. I was like, why, white lady? Why do you want to go back to the 1960s?
I mean, yeah, but what to about be fair, that does happen with people when they get older. Like, or
she
and
wants
they're...
to go back to them segregated lunch counters. No, I'm not allowing it.
I believe that. But too, I do think it could be helpful, like, because a lot of the times they do go back, like at the end of their lives, back to situations.
Right.
And it's kind of hard to deal with as a person who's a caretaker or like who's coming to visit people and they're having those visions, basically.
Mm.
It's like, I what do I say? I'm not there with them. So I think like having that as a supplemental aid when you are actually spending time with them and you're having those experiences could be pretty...
Supplemental is the key word, as opposed to replacing
the whole plan of care.
I think, like, we did an interview with somebody who's an expert on, like, all the ways that private equity has just, like, come through and destroyed a number of different American industries and companies. And this was, I think, like, the main or, like, one of the three industries that the book, like, really focused on and was just, like, the... they came through, they took over a bunch of these companies that ran nursing homes and slashed budgets to inoperable levels. And then, you know, when those nursing homes go out of business, the private equity companies have already extracted fees and end up doing okay because, you know, they have these massive contracts and these like Byzantine arrangements where they like secretly own the company without like outwardly, without anybody legally, like really even knowing their name.
Right.
And so, yeah, I like on the one hand, nursing, the, you know, elderly care industry has a really bad name, but I think it's because we've just come through this period where private equity ravaged it. And so, yeah, I'm hoping that there is a possible future where, you know, that gets corrected and these are supplemental, like you said, Eves, instead of just a thing that they're like, all right, we can fire five nurses and just because right. we bought a VR headset.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I'm gonna fight over it. Yeah. I like Katie's idea, though. Maybe if that person's like, I want to go back to Reconstruction America. I'd be like, oh, yeah, let me load up a memory for you real quick. And I would just completely fuck with them. It's like black people are running everything. And it's
you
like,
load
it's
up an like, image of the unknown, the evil candy maker who lives in the walls.
What's up? Yeah. What's I got up? A Diana Ross wig on. Wow.
Yeah. Now that's the Black Mirror episode for sure.
There you go. Yeah.
My thing with all this technology is it's like no one really needs this, but we do need like universal healthcare.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But yeah. I think we're in that place with a lot of technology today. It's like we're moving beyond the point of necessity and into the point of just we're just figuring out shit to do with all this.
But we don't have the necessities at all.
No, we don't have the
language part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Move to a
but they have you feeling like what you need is an Apple Vision Pro set. Right. Like, no,
to get
what I
out
need,
of your reality.
What I need is my insurance company to cover my meds.
Right. What I need is affordable housing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know.
Well, while we wait on those, wouldn't it be nice to take a vacation to the country of Paris?
Yeah.
The great nation of Paris.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, Katie, Eves, truly such a pleasure having you both on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can follow us on Instagram at OnThemeShow. You can also hit us up via email at hello@ontheme.show. You can also find all the show notes at ontheme.show. And go listen to the podcast, On Theme. Yeah. It's about Black storytelling. It's really awesome. You'll probably find some stuff if you're interested in Blackness, if you're interested in storytelling and just storytelling in general. You'll probably find something you love there. Personally, I'm on Instagram at Not Apologizing. And did I get it all, Katie?
You got it.
Katie, cool. you anywhere on social media?
No.
Personally?
All right.
The ghost.
All right.
There you go. That's why you're so happy, I feel like.
And is there a work of media that you guys have been enjoying?
I have been going back and watching the old UFCs lately.
Okay.
Like the first seven or something like that.
Yeah.
Like starting from the beginning. This was the I'm not really a sports watcher at all. It's something that my husband got me into over the years. But like, it's been very entertaining because it's just like, it's that one, it just feels very primitive. All of the old, like seeing that segment of time and period in media when things were so irreverent, didn't make any sense. A lot of things were stupid, honestly. A lot of the things that people said had made no sense. And also like going and looking into some of the people's history who fought for the UFC, and it's very problematic in those early years. And the commentators, God, I mean, yeah, it's been like an escapism mode for me, and something that's like very far away from all of the other serious historical philosophical things that I'm focused on a lot of the time.
Yeah, those early like fights are so wild to watch because you're like, I think a truck driver is fighting a karate man.
Yeah.
And you're like,
literally their theme, they used to have themes back in the day, and one of the themes I just watched was David versus Goliath, where they purposely put people together who were in absolutely different weight classes.
Oh, no.
It would be like a 600-pound person and a 250-pound person. and it was just, it was, there are so, I could go on forever about this because there are so many things about the marketing and the ways that they set up the shows that you could really tell they were trying to find their footing and they had no fucking clue. And one thing I will say that it teaches me is that, like, if those people, if those white men could, like, be like, I think I want to do this thing where different disciplines fight each other and I don't know what I'm doing, but we're going to put it on television. Right. And it really makes no sense. And I feel like I can do anything. Like, it's been very motivational for me.
Right. I used to rent those at Blockbuster. Like, that was, those early UFC specials were, like, available to rent. Yeah.
Yeah, because like, I remember.
That was the only way to watch them, really.
Yeah, I saw a bootleg one, and I was like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, this guy, how come, and I'm like, how come the other guy isn't wearing, like, a gi, like, a uniform? And I'm like, and this guy, his name is Tank Abbott? Okay. This is all very, yeah.
It's hilarious. Highly recommend, honestly.
I was not expecting that. I recommend. Watch the early UFC fights.
I mean, you know, you get the discipline and you get the, like, people who actually know how to fight in MMA these days when you watch it. And also you get way more diversity, like watching women, watching people who, like, watching Black people. You know, there are a lot of things that have changed over time. Like, and me having started watching it later and going back and seeing how they did it before, it's been enlightening, to say the least.
Yeah. What about you, Katie?
I've been reading this collection of short stories called Neighbors and Other Stories by Diane Oliver. And it was published recently and posthumously. She died in 1966 at the age of 22 while she was on a motorcycle. And a lot of her work had been pretty much forgotten until like 2021, I believe. When someone just found her, one of her short stories in an anthology and wrote about her, and that led to her being republished. So I always find it like super interesting when writers are published posthumously, like, would they have like these stories together? How do they feel about it? She was 22, so she didn't have any kids or anything. So it's her sister and nieces who she never met doing her estate stuff. But it's a collection of stories about Jim Crow era people who are integrating certain situations, whether it's school or lunch counters, but it's kind of showing the side of, it's not always a positive thing to be a part of history. Like, if you were Ruby Bridges, what is that actual toll on you as a little kid?
Right.
And not just like, oh, I'm a part of history, I'm changing things for the better, but like, as a person, how does it feel to be in such these like tumultuous times? So it's a really interesting thing. And like I said, she died in 1966, so she was writing it as like contemporary stories and not like historical fiction.
Right.
Yeah. Damn. That's an amazing recommendation.
Which UFC is your favorite? Which UFC?
No, I
Yeah, that's cool and everything, but did you see Hoist Gracie?
Did any of the Davids win, by the way? I'm always curious about that.
Honestly, that's a good question. I feel like the Goliaths won most of the time. Because,
that'd be funny if it was just Goliaths. Just
I don't know if it was the whole time. I gotta go. Look, I'm not mad at a second watch. I'll go back and watch second. Yeah, yeah. I can really get the stats down.
Verify,
also, the stats that they used to use were just, they made no sense. One was like thinker. And I was like, what does that have to do with, what does him being a thinker have to do with anything?
But, and in this one, we have Shaq versus a child.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Shaq won. Damn.
Huh. Yeah. Shaq lost.
But yeah, the weight didn't work for them all the time. Yeah.
Right.
Miles, where can people find you? Is there work in media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, find me at Miles of Gray on all the social platforms. You can find us, Miles and Jack, on our basketball podcast. Miles and Jack on Matt Boosties. You can also find me on my 90 Day Fiancé podcast, 420 Day Fiancé. And let's see, a tweet I like is from Ellie Creamendahl, at Ellie Creamendahl tweeted, so weird when you meet a girl with the same name as your sister, because they're like, hi, I'm Jenna. And you're like, no, you are not. I am sorry, but you are not. That's that energy. Yeah. That's how when people say they have my mom's name. I'm like, you're not, don't come at me with this. That's not you. It's my mom's name.
Incorrect. I've been enjoying the clip of Richard Lewis when he was 16 on a candid camera. Just a lot of good Richard Lewis clips, RIP to him. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, is there a song that you think people might enjoy?
Yeah, Kate Bollinger is a vocalist from Virginia. And like, just again, these artists who kind of go with that throwback style when like you listen to it, you're like, was this recorded in the 70s or is this now? One of those kind of contemporary retro artists. This track is called Untitled. And yeah, like it's just a really nice, you know, take this track into your weekend, relax, just melt away into a world of pure imagination, as they say at Willie McNichol's chocolate wankery or whatever it's called.
Chocolate thingery. All right. We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are given away for free. That is going to do it for us this week. We're back over the weekend with a digest of some of the best moments from this week. And then back on Monday morning to tell you what trended over the weekend. And we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health Aid kombucha.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.